Hallelujah. We welcome all of our family that are here and that are watching. And stay with us. We're going to have a good night. And all of our services are wonderful. And we got a lot to cover, but we've got plenty of time to do it in. It doesn't get daylight till about 6:30 or something like that. I'm always watching the sun come up, and amen, we'll just make a big old pot of coffee and send for some donuts about 5:30, and we'll finish up around 6:30, amen, hallelujah. I'm just kidding, hallelujah. But don't you just desire the days where he just falls and we just kind of, not because it's mandated, not because we're trying to just stick it out, but you just can't leave. You just are glued, hallelujah. We're going to talk about 13 reasons why I pray in the Holy Ghost tonight. 13 reasons why I pray in tongues. So we're going to do that in just a little bit. And before that, we're going to pass out some things. Why don't we pray? And I'm going to ask you to consider what you may be giving tonight. Perhaps you came in here ready to bless, or maybe... maybe not, but maybe you can pray. So let's just pray together, and then we'll have another opportunity to stand in just a moment. Marty, if you can have us a little bit of worship more. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity in our giving. Father, we thank you for everything that is necessary for this week and preface to what we're about to receive, a week's worth of teaching. And all our needs are met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You always supply that, Father, and we thank you for it. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's all stand together one more time. And if you want to bring something, if you have a moment that you need to put something in an envelope or whatever. If not, just turn and give somebody else a hug. Marty, if you can give us something. If you have something, please bring it down. We so much appreciate it. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. And I know you at home, you'd like to bring something down, but you can't walk that far. But amen. So once you brought it down, just worship the Lord. You can sit down, close your eyes, and begin to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we do love to worship you, so we just lift our hands and we just praise you, Jesus. How about doing that with me, would you? Those of you at home, wherever you're at, in your living room, watching this, on the road, don't lift your hands off the steering wheel, but lift your hands if you can. Father, we love you. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You are so wonderful. Thank you for this outpouring. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for the life that you've given us through Jesus, our Lord. We love you. We love you, Father. Thank you for your great grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Jim and Kathy Martin will be here Sunday. And please don't forget that. And Sunday morning, night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Sunday night will be 6 o'clock, okay, because we'll start at our regular time. In just a moment, I'm going to pass out or have some handouts passed out one at a time so we don't get ahead of ourselves. This is not the message for tonight, but it's something the Lord wants you to have and me to comment on briefly because he does want me to get into the message. But it is very important that it's part of our arsenal and some of which you've seen before. But I want you to be able to take it home with you and just meditate on it. Pass out the first one on the pyramid, please. Yeah, go ahead and I'm just going to read. We could spend a whole lot of time on this, and that is not our assignment. As I said, I want you that are watching, you won't have the luxury of this particular handout in your hand. You guys could divide that the next time. On that, and that way we'll get it done a whole lot faster. Okay. But this is a vision. I'll wait till everybody gets one. Okay. And this is vitally important that we read through this. As I said, I want you to take it home. Please read it when you get home again. Maybe not tonight, but sometime over the next few days. You might want to stick it in the folder of your Bible. This is amazing. Because this is a vision that Pastor Dave had way back in 1995. And although not delivered in the form of a direct prophecy, the Holy Spirit gave Dave, Pastor Dave, this vision. The Holy Spirit wants us to understand the cost of revival, is what he says. He does not want us to be faint or too faint. He showed me a power structure. It was equal on all sides like a pyramid. At the top was one person. This was the person that God had worked with a long time to instill in him the vision. God has trouble getting a person to that position because men keep wanting to stop and do things the way men do them instead of the way that God does. At the prayer center, the vision is revival. That's very apropos for us. Then two people join him, and they are the next two people below him on the power structure. Then four join, and they are the next level, and so forth, until you have an entire power structure. In the vision, the devil started at the bottom and then just started up the power structure, destroying and destroying. The closer you got to the vision, the man at the top, the more sophisticated the tactics had to become. When he got to the two people just below the vision, they just started kicking each other in the face. Finally, one of them got offended and went outside the power structure. As soon as I saw him go outside of the power structure, the Holy Spirit said, "As long as the person that received the original vision does not step down and kick you in the face, yet you become offended over anything, then you are operating below revival status. In this condition, the devil will just continue to come and offend people and stop the whole process. To me, the most important thing is not only not to offend, but to be purged from the capacity to be offendable. I do not want to become offended, and I do not want to give offense. If you are not capable of being offended, then you are almost not capable of being controlled." Very powerful. And I think, again, it's so important to remind us of what our assignment is and to remind us that the enemy is continually, if he can, sophisticated in new ways that we haven't seen before. He will try to come and dismantle you. Now, there are people that are part of our family that are not able to be here tonight but are watching. We will have copies of this if you want to get one. Becoming unoffendable is the prerequisite to revival. And not being a person who precipitates is part of. So the way we go is linked, arm in arm. And in this, okay, I can't elaborate too much. What did we hear? He started picking. Now, the neat thing is this: if the people at the top refuse, especially the person at the top refuses to get involved at any part of anything less than revival, God's able to always, he's able to keep it. But the enemy will start on the outside edges, And he's like, do you remember that game Pac-Man? If he can eat a little bit, then he'll eat up the ladder and keep eating up the ladder. And that's how he destroys visions. Okay? So keep a check on yourself. Okay, I'm listening. I could read these, and I'm so thankful. I appreciate Candy making these for us this afternoon. But I think that I'll just, because if I get into this, I'm gonna preach it. Let me just say this. This prophecy here is a recent approved prophecy from the prayer center in Tulsa. But because we're one with them, and because I read through these prophecies, and I'm part of also proofing those prophecies, I believe this one speaks apropos. It's applicable to us. And I want you to take it home with you. Please don't read it while I'm teaching, okay? Take it home with you and read it. So go ahead and hand that out real quickly. I'm thinking you have it and you don't have it. This one, the first one is worship - the perfect companion to fasting. Once you read through this, I mean, take it home with you. Some of your speed readers, so you're kind of getting a little bit of it to start with. But I just want to mention this because it's very important. Worship - the perfect companion to fasting. And as you read this, you'll find how the Holy Spirit matches up worship with fasting. Now, we just went through a series on Wednesday nights about the importance of fasting. And we went through that for several weeks, and we started prior to the holidays and went through. Sometimes, and this is not an indictment, I'm just saying, just like the pyramid vision, like I'm giving you ammunition to stay steady. Sometimes when pastor gets done with a series, especially like fasting, it's like out of sight, out of mind. And like, whew, glad he's done with that so we can go on with something else and we don't have to face that and maybe we can just forget about it. But I love what Gary's still on it, but he started after me. And Gary said for years he just thought that fasting was optional. And it's not optional. It really is not. Do you have to fast to go to heaven? No. But it is not optional in regards to receiving an outpouring. In other words, you cannot not fast and receive an outpouring. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Well, because Jesus did. Jesus said, after I'm gone, in essence, you will need to fast. So I'm just saying that is, even though I might leave you alone, I pray to God that the Holy Spirit does not leave you alone. throughout this whole year. And listen, here's the deal. We're already halfway through the first quarter. And if you've already fasted some, praise God. If you've not, there's no condemnation. I'm just saying is don't let what may have been a legitimate excuse become a long-term excuse. I went through, and I'm not doing this to boast because I just know how time is. I went through my calendar today and put down the next three quarterly fast. And I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Why are you doing that? Are you bragging? No, listen. If the preacher doesn't do it and he preaches it, but he doesn't do it, don't follow him. Don't follow him. I don't follow generals that say, take that hill. And they say, I'll sit here and see what you guys come back and tell me how you did. If a guy preaches it, he needs to do it. So I'm like, okay, God, if I'm the leader, I better be doing it. And I've done my first one, and I've got more assignments. But I'm just telling you, very important. And start any place. Start any place. I listened to another one that Gary just did recently, and he talked about how that he had not been a faster for years, and he just started. Not just started it, but he just started doing some things like Daniel fast and stuff. And some people came along and kind of, I don't know who they were, and he'd never say, but he said people kind of gave him a hard time, like, huh, like what are you, advanced fasters. Listen, don't ever do that. Don't ever, 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 and I mean never. I don't care how long you've ever went. If somebody does a day, you celebrate that day with them like they're, you know, they have turned the world upside down. Hallelujah. The other one is that's part of this, but is not part of that particular, is time to put aside distractions. So the Holy Spirit has said, watch out about getting offended fast and watch distractions, okay? And this is a really good one about watching distractions. Hallelujah. You know, anything, and I can't even remember, I've read through this a couple of times. I'm trying to think if there's anything in there exactly what I might want to say just real quickly on that. Distractions. Hebrews 12 weights that are not sins can eventually become a weight can transition into a sin. There's nothing wrong with having activities for your family, for your kids. But if you get to where that you've scheduled so much around what they're doing that you can't do what he's asked you to do, in that same chat, listen, to him who knows to do good, God's asked you to do something, and you don't do it, to him it is sin. You won't find, you may not be able to, well, you won't find maybe one of the Ten Commandments on it, but there are individual sins that we commit when we disobey. Okay? So don't get distracted. Hallelujah. All right. Again, we love you, Jesus, and we thank you and praise you for every good and perfect gift from above. Blessings and glory and praise and thanksgiving. I love you, Lord. I love these people. I thank you for all the goodness that you have showed to us in these many years here at the Family Prayer Center and all of the family that's watching tonight. And Lord, we just love you. We just love you so much. Praise God. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. 13 reasons why I pray in tongues. Okay, are you ready for these? Okay, this is not exhaustive, I'm going to tell you that. There may be other reasons why. And this is kind of old school. I know collectively we probably got a bunch of tongue talkers in here and people watching. Why would you watch? Although I've heard this week that there are people that are watching that I would have never suspected, and I am so glad that you're watching. I am just honored. I don't even care if you watch and you're taking issue, like half the time, like this guy's whacked, he's crazy. But if you continue to watch, I am honored. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Seriously. So this is old school. It's throwback. It's kind of throwback. You know, when you see the throwback uniforms on some of these teams, this is old throwback night, okay? This is throwback night. When I say why I speak in tongues, I'm including all of us, of course, that being you as well as me. So I'm teaching maybe newbies and oldies, okay? But you're not old. I'm not calling you old. I'm just saying you're old in all of this. So a lot of times, I'll tell you what, we get on a plane around here, and I appreciate that plane, but we've got to understand that there are people that are watching or maybe people coming into our midst that don't know what you know. They haven't been around here for for 20 plus years or 10 years or whatever. Just like Sunday, I'll say this real quick. Some of you Sunday probably, I appreciate, you know, you sticking with me in a service and praying for me. Sunday was almost a complete repeat of weeks gone by. But here's the deal. If you're a teacher, all of us teachers know this. Homer knows this. Well, all of us that teach, you know, you never teach above your crowd, okay? And it's the Holy Spirit, he'll normally go to the lowest rung in the crowd collectively to try to bring everybody up to speed. So it is a tough job for a speaker, a teacher, but the Holy Spirit always helps you. It's a tough job when you have a bunch of visitors. It's a sweet and bitter thing, especially if you're on a series. If you have 15 visitors, you're like, whoa. You know, now, I mean, if you had 15 visitors in a 3,000 person church, that wouldn't be, but if you have 15 visitors and, you know, in a smaller church, it's a different thing. So you try to bring up and you try to repeat, and you say, well, they may never be back. They might not, but they heard truth that day. They heard a lot of truth that day. So so we're going into old territory, but it's good territory. Just because you attend here doesn't mean you do it, okay? Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. All the way to the back, I'm getting a wave. Just because you attend here doesn't mean you do it. I've seen that for years. You know that for years. Sleeping in a garage doesn't make you a car. My granddad used to tell this. It's kind of corny, but granddaddy could tell a lot better than me. And it serves the purpose. A guy went in to get a truck driving job. You've heard me say it one time before, maybe. And he's sitting down, and I'm talking about truck driving over the road, 18-wheeler, long-haul truck driving. And they set him down, and he's trying to get hired into this company, and they said, okay, we're going to give you a written test, an oral test, and then, you know, you're going to give you a road test and stuff. But before we even start, you're going to be driving one of our big rigs. Can you drive a truck? And he just got so, I mean, he was like so indignant by the question, like, are you serious? Can I drive a truck? You ask me if I can drive a truck. Really? Really? Can I drive a truck? My brother has been driving trucks for 30 years. And you ask me if I can drive a truck? Now, that's where most people are at a lot of times. I go to the family prayer center, and you ask me, do I pray? Really? Seriously? You would ask me a question like that? The man's brother didn't qualify him to drive a truck. You get that part. Just because you come here, and just because you're a pastor or some of the elders, I hope all the elders, pray and fast and speak a lot in tongues. But just because you come here don't mean that you're doing it. But we want you to do it. Hallelujah. It'll change you. Hallelujah. A good book to read is the Bible. The other one is The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. If you've never read that, please, I would encourage you to do that. Don't ask me to send you a book, or where can you get a book, because I have no idea. I can tell you can go to Pastor Dave Roberson's website, and you can go on there, and the whole book is downloaded. It's in a PDF form. You can sit there and read it off the website, or you can download it and copy it for yourself. But if you've got a book, you can't even order books. I don't have access to books. I don't know that I even. I hope I've still got one for myself. If you've got a Dave Roberson book, and you want to have, don't give it away, because you might not ever get another one. They'd only print them out when they get. They have to have at least a $10,000 donation to print. Okay, And they don't print unless they do. And far as I know, they don't have any books. If they do, it's in a locked vault somewhere. So I cannot get you a book, but I can tell you how to get one, okay? So don't ask me for a book, okay? The first reason, now I'm going to give you some scriptures. You might want to write these down or turn there. The first reason why I pray in tongues is for power, the power purpose. And the first reason being the power, and that is Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read these for you if you can turn there. Listen, the first reason for praying in tongues is for power, okay? Without praying in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's never revival. Okay? Okay, let me say it like this. Get the point across. A couple of weeks ago, especially a couple of weeks ago, being this Wednesday, on a Wednesday night, Homer took the pulpit for me, just like right at the last minute. It was wonderful. He's always prepared. When I was coming home, I was having to go share some really unpleasant news with my mom and dad about the death of her sister. When I was coming home, I told Candy, I said, let's see if we can catch the last part of the service. And so we put it on there, and we were driving along, and I got just the last part of what Homer was teaching. It was really good. It's always good what Homer has. And he said something. I said, yep, that's it. That's true. He said something that he said that basically, and I'm, you know, this is not his words, but I'm going to tell you how I heard it. He said that he had kind of misspoke, not entirely, but a little bit, on how that he had said for a number of years through his own personal testimony, which was really good, how that if he had not been on this walk praying in tongues, he would have never been able to live above sin, or he wouldn't have stayed saved. He'd have got back out in the world. And he corrected that as a misnomer or a misway of speaking by saying this, that where he's at now and what has been revealed to him, of course, through praying in tongues and through the Word of God, is that the born-again nature itself was more than enough to keep him from going back out into the world. And I said, amen, that's exactly right. And here's the thing. He said, you know, I partially misspoke because of where I'm at. He goes, but really, he said, there, you know, there's other things involved with it. And, of course, we understand that. Listen, one of the things about it, here's the deal. If anybody could have ever made it, like any good Baptist boy, if could have ever lived above sin without the Holy Ghost, everybody can. And so we know that the power of the new nature is enough to give you the strength, stamina, and the ability to say no to sin. Hallelujah. But here's the deal. You will never, ever have a revival without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You'll never have signs and wonders and power without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That won't happen. Never revival without the baptism. Well, how do you know? Well, Acts chapter 1, verse 7. Hopefully you'll follow along here with me if you've turned in your Bibles or on your smart device. Maybe you're reading it at home. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So what was the thing that Jesus promised when the Holy Ghost would come? Power. The disciples, when you read Acts chapter 2, the disciples changed immediately. They changed immediately into boldness, to witness, and to demonstrate miracles. The new birth did not present the power of witness or demonstration of miracles. When they were born again in John 20, verse 22, they got the power of over sin at that moment. John 20, verse 22 and 23 says this, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They did not start speaking in tongues then. They were just born again, or their spirits were born of God. And whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. It was another 40, close to 40 days from that time or less that they were actually filled with the Holy Ghost. They were born again in John 20, but they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. But you don't see any power in their life after that moment. You don't even see any ability to witness. They did not go out of the upper room at that moment and start witnessing. They didn't. They didn't have the power to. Praying in tongues is exercising your spiritual man in power. Hallelujah. Are you glad that you pray in tongues? Praise God. There's power to witness and to demonstrate. Number two, the second reason why I pray in tongues is mortifying the flesh. It helps in the mortification of the flesh. Now, the first line of mortification is what? Your born-again nature. That's the first line. That's the first. But praise God, you've, in all essence, you've got a backup, and you've got a complementary power flow, which is the Holy Spirit, that once you're baptized, He's going to help you in this mortification process. Romans 8, this is the scripture on this. Romans 8, 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Praying in tongues is our mortification. That's, we just read Romans 8, but in chapter 12 of Romans, praying in tongues is our mortification, presenting our bodies before the Lord. Now, again, let me just say this. If you weren't here a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago when I said Romans, if you're reading through Romans, if you read through Romans, there is a parentheses, not a literal parentheses, but there's a parentheses after chapter 8 from 9, 10, and 11, okay? Those parentheses are not there in literature. They're just there in understanding, okay? So what I'm saying is this. You know what a parenthesis is in a sentence? It's like additional information, supplemental information. In most sentences, it's not necessary. In this case, it is necessary because God put it in there, but it's not necessary for you to understand the sentence. It's just supplemental information. The same way, if you jump from chapter 8 to 12, it still makes sense. Or if you go back from 12 to 8, when he's talking about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, from 9, 10, and 11, he takes a side journey. He's not rabbit trailing because the Holy Spirit's with him, but he takes a side journey, goes into all of Israel's past, how they came to where they were at, what was given to them, and it all coincides with what he's trying to say. But if you go from 12 back to 8, when he talks about presenting your body a living sacrifice, from 12 to 8, the presentation of presenting your body a living sacrifice is Romans 8, 26, the Holy Spirit making intercession for you. And he is the one that does this, and he brings forth mortification. Again, Romans 8, 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The word infirmities here, what he prays for us, we oftentimes think about infirmities being sickness, maladies like fear, anxiety, all this. But the word infirmities means feebleness, mind or body, by implication a malady, moral frailty, a disease, an infirmity, sickness, or weakness. It comes from even a more deeper foundation of a base that means more feeble, impotent, sick, without strength, weakness. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He prays for us, Romans 8:26, for our infirmities. Mortification of the flesh is not just immoral sins. Okay? We talk a lot around here about that the Holy Spirit is mortifying us. My mind, I don't know about your, my mind usually goes into moral sins and mortification of like anger, attitude, or immoral things. But mortification is a whole lot more than that. It's a whole lot more than that. Praying in tongues is diametrically opposed to the flesh. It's diametrically opposed to the flesh. You cannot rigorously pray in tongues and remain in weakness. Eventually, choices will have to be made. Everybody still with me? Even if, or if the wrong choice is made or postponed and you continue to pray in tongues, you will always come back to the choice. You'll always just circumvent back to the choice. Always. The third reason, interceding for yourself and others. When you pray in tongues, you're interceding for yourself and others. You individually, meaning you individually, and others make up the body of Christ. This involves others. I cannot dictate. Now, here's the thing. I cannot dictate the itinerary involvement in my prayers for others or even in myself, but it is promised. When we just read 8:26, the Spirit, better translation, Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's the entire body of Christ. If you look at it from a bigger perspective, that involves you and me. Now, we've taught this before, and I'm teaching people that maybe are hearing this. When you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is the one giving the utterance. You cannot sit down and dictate the itinerary, okay? In other words, I've heard people say, I'm requesting prayer for, you know, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. All right, let's all pray in tongues right now. Like we just dictated to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we were telling you right now, when we open our mouth, you're going to start praying for sister so-and-so. I can't dictate. It's as He wills. And so, but I do know this. Somewhere in the scheme of things, if I do pray on a daily basis, He is praying for me, and He's praying for others. Hallelujah. So that's good. The fourth reason is to understand doctrine. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14 and 18. Look at it in your Bible if you can. Get there. 1 Corinthians 14:18 says this. Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than my voice, that my voice might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. I'm going to read the next two verses, but I just heard. No, not really. I'm just kidding. I heard some good fundamentalist that doesn't understand 1 Corinthians 14 say, that's it, that's the verse that we stand on. I'd rather pray just a few words with my understanding than 10,000. Keep reading in the chapter, not you guys right now, but all any disputing voices, because in the end of the chapter he says, I said all this, but let me be clear. Don't ever forbid anybody to pray in tongues. In other words, don't get confused about this. Don't use this as an argument. 1 Corinthians 14 is a volley. It's back and forth between the rules of engagement between your personal life and what we should do in the church. And I love the way Pastor Dave used to break this down. He broke it down into, he said 10,000 words in this. I'd rather speak, how did he say here? I'd rather speak five words than with my understanding in the church, he's talking about, than to stand here. Now, if I was to stand here for an hour and a half and just pray in tongues, yeah, Homer's making some signs back there like this. You know, like what's Pastor doing and people watching? I'm just sitting here, and you're thinking, you know what, dude? You know, I appreciate that you're getting edified, but I have no idea what. Paul's saying, look, in the church, I've done this prior in my own personal prayer closet. When I came in here, I'm going to give you the word of wisdom and understanding that I received by the time, in the time that I was with God in a private place. Verse 20 says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. In the law, now I love this because he gives an Old Testament reference here to speaking in tongues. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Okay, here's the Old Testament reference. Turn with me to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. And look at verse 8. So we're on the fourth reason. What is that? Because it praying in tongues helps you to understand the word of God or doctrine. Verse 8 of chapter 28 of Isaiah says this, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no clean place. We've heard Pastor Jim teach on this. It's really good. But he asked this question then, and this was, we're not pulling this out of context. Paul told us to turn back here, okay? He told us to know this. Whom shall he teach knowledge? I don't know who gets a head start on knowledge in the Word of God, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast. Here's how it works: precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. In other words, it builds line upon line. Here a little and there a little. How so? How does it come about? For with stammering lips and an other tongue will I speak or interpret to these people my understanding. That's how he gets the understanding over. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this, speaking in tongues, is the refreshing, yet they would not. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. Okay, so that kind of, you know, we got the main part of it through verse 12. Listen to this. The person who is filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence, because a lot of times people say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay. The person who is filled with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues has a program downloaded within themselves in regards to understanding the Word of God that a non-filled person does not have. It is still up to the individual. In other words, you can pray in tongues and never go to the Word of God and still stay dumb. It is still up to the individual to fill themselves with the Word, but the person praying in tongues has a much greater disposition of understanding than the person who does not pray in tongues. Amen? Hallelujah. You are, just a couple statements, you are predisposed to understanding. In other words, this, you have a, it's been downloaded in you after you've been filled with the Spirit. You have an app on your smart device. What's your smart device? Your born-again spirit. Now you have an app in there. You're more apt to understand revelation knowledge. Hands on hips. Preacher, are you telling me, am I understanding you to say that the person, now I don't pray in tongues, are you saying that the person who prays in tongues can get more revelation and understand more than the person who don't or doesn't pray in tongues? That's exactly what you are understanding me perfectly. You got it. You're very close to getting, hallelujah. I got some people standing up back there. Glory. The fifth reason is peace. Just peace. Just praying in tongues will produce peace, because how do you know that? Isaiah 28:12 says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they wouldn't hear it then, but we hear it now. Listen, there's been times in my life, I bet you could, man, I've been just down, just at the bottom, and not know where to go. And I mean, your emotions and things coming at you and whatever. But I just sit there and pray in tongues. And as I prayed in tongues, peace would come. He promised us this right here. This is the rest wherewith you should cause the weary to rest. One time, a number of years ago, well, you guys, many of you were part of it. This is just one example. All of you could give examples. In a 24-hour period, just about a 24-hour period, one, we had Gary's funeral. That was a young man that was close friends with a lot of these people in here. Homer pastored him as a youth pastor, and he actually is I think he's kin to my son-in-law, but he was well known, popular among these guys, and a close friend. And he was killed in a car accident outside of Immokalee one late night, and tragic accident. And I went to his funeral, and like a lot of you, and it was very emotional. And I'm sitting there in his funeral. And as I'm sitting there in his funeral, we got a call. We started getting call after call, and so we finally said, I've got to go outside and see what's going on. We got a call from my sister or from one of her children, and so we called back, and they said, Steve, my brother-in-law, which was 45, they said he's had a heart attack, and they're taking him to Gulf Coast. And so we're in this funeral, because one of the young men from our youth group has been killed in a car wreck, and that's not good. We're sitting there feeling the effects of that, and people are just wailing really loud, and they're hurting. Okay, I'm not condemning. They're just really hurting. And so we walked out, and I said, well, we got to go. We got in the car. We drove as fast as we could to Gulf Coast, and just before I got there, we got the call and said, Steve died. Steve's dead. And so I walked in there and asked my brother-in-law, and I said, well, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm just going to give it a shot. And I went in there, and they said, yeah, he can go in. And my sister told him who I was, and I was a minister. So I went in there alone, and there's my brother-in-law. Last time I seen him, he's my brother-in-law. Now he's laying there on the table, and he's got the tracheal still, in his mouth, and he's dead. He's gone. It's bad. It's real bad. I tried, but I he was gone. He was gone. He was where he was at. He was in heaven, and I couldn't bring him back. And nobody else was in there with me. And but it's tough, You see him one week, you see him, and the next time you see him, they're laying there dead. And so I walked out, and then a little bit, all the family came in. We just stood around him a little bit, and now there's wailing going on. And I mean. He's a very successful financial advisor and doing well at 45, and he just, massive heart attack. He's dead. So then we start, that's a major deal, because he was really close. Me and Steve, we were really pretty close. We vacationed together. We go fishing together. He had a boat, and me and him would go out, and we just had a good time together. So anyway, that's a close person in my life. So we had to deal with all the family there, and that's not settled, so it's just started. So we come, that's Saturday. So we come here on a Sunday morning. I'm sitting here, and that's when I had lapel. I didn't have the earpiece. I had lapel. I'm sitting here, and the candy starts getting calls. Well, we go, I don't know how we did it. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, one of our sisters is calling and says, your mama is dying, and if you ever want to see her again, you need to come right now. So I said, well, okay. So I just took the mic off and walked over, and I said, here, Homer, I'm leaving because Candy's mama's dying. And so in 24 hours, we were sitting in a funeral. My brother-in-law died, and then we got now her mama did revive. That helped. But I'm saying this is, in that whole time, now this is what I've learned, okay? I'm just going to share with you what I've learned. In crisis, don't go mental. Go spiritual. And the best thing you can do is stop thinking and just go right into tongues. Now, I'll just like those 3 or 4 days, I'll just pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Just go. There's no need to driving down the road and start talking about stuff just pray in tongues. Because there's an emanating peace. We just read it. That's one of the reasons, fifth reason, why I pray in tongues is because peace comes out of it. And the other thing is, you don't need to go, because trying to figure stuff out will get you going crazy and thinking about stuff. The best thing you can do to shut, what I found out about shutting myself down, the best mechanism to shutting my mind down is to start praying in tongues. Okay? Sixth reason, it's all encompassing. In other words, when you pray this prayer, it takes in a whole everything. It really is the perfect prayer. You can't mess it up. Again, we go back to that old, the scripture, 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, plural, for we know not what we should pray as we all. We don't know what we should pray. So I'm going down the road. I don't know. I mean, one of our kids just died. My brother-in-law just died. My mother-in-law, which is very close to, they're saying she's dying right now. So you don't know what to, I mean, yeah, you can pray, but you still don't know how to get through that. You don't know how to get through that. So you just start, it's an all-encompassing prayer. Seventh reason, it's a prayer that he can answer. He can answer those prayers. Because sometimes if you're mortified enough and you're in the Word enough, you won't pray real goofy and stupid prayers. Those are the ones that don't get answered. But it's always good to pray in tongues, because that prayer is coming from the Holy Spirit and it will get answered. 8:27 says this, he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. So if there's any way I can miss it, then I can switch. I know this. I know that prayer is going to get answered. Amen. Number eight, the reason why I pray in tongues is it is a private prayer. I like the private part. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Okay? It's the musteros or musterion, which means to shut the mouth, or a secret or mystery, through the ideal of silence imposed by this into a religious rite. It's a mystery. So it shuts out everyone, including myself. I'll bet you, now see, like, I don't know. Tongues for interpretation is different. If you get a tongue for interpretation, that's collectively, and that interpreted. But you don't know what you're saying if you pray in hours and hours of tongues a week. I'll bet you, I'll say this about myself, I won't incriminate you. I'll bet you if I knew what I've prayed through the years, I would be embarrassed by it. Thank God that he leaves my understanding, because I probably wouldn't say what he said about, because I probably think higher of myself, and I want him to think higher of me, and I want to think that he doesn't see those areas. So the Holy Spirit, he'll just plain out say it to the Father, and he's like, we'll leave this in a mystery, so he's not embarrassed by it, because if he knew what he was saying, he probably wouldn't pray it. Does that make sense? He keeps me from being embarrassed. It shuts out everything and everyone. It saves me from embarrassment. Now, I put a footnote on this, and I'm glad I did. And let me say this, and then I'll read this. A number of years ago, and you've heard me repeat it, okay? You've heard me repeat this. And I'm going to clarify something, because the further we go, the more revelation we get, and the more that we're able to look in retrospect, just like when Homer politely corrected himself, and we got to enjoy that, and he brought us to a greater level of understanding. This is a level of understanding, okay? You've heard me say this. I won't name the name, but we've heard of a well-known preacher that said that he had a vision in his service, and it's a well-known preacher, and he saw demons, and I think they come on the stage. I'm not sure. It's been a long time, but I repeated it quite well. And they said to him, oh, they had a tablet and like a writing, something they were writing. And he said he was going to have, it seemed like he went into a dialogue with them, okay? And he said the Lord taught him something through it. He said they were writing, and he said, what are you doing? He said, oh, we are listening to the prayers of all these saints, and we're writing them down so we can eventually come against them. Okay, I'm okay with that. And he said, okay, somehow it came up about tongues. Maybe he was prompted or whatever. He said, what about tongues? And they said, and the devil said, we don't know what they're praying. So I rejoiced in that. That's okay, because based on the word mutarion, it is a mystery, and it's very probable that because it is a mystery, I'd stand on that they don't know, that angels don't know and demons don't know. But here's the thing. Here's my note. Don't be afraid of praying with the understanding. Because I'd present that and would say, they don't know what we're saying, yay, then we can pray in tongues. Listen, the misnomer to that is this, or the wrong understanding of that is this. Then if we pray with our understanding, they're somehow going to defeat us in what we pray. That's absolutely not biblical. To take that kind of disposition is a fearful disposition that contradicts what Paul taught us. Because Paul taught us, and I'll say this, don't be afraid of praying with the understanding. Paul, separate my pages, excuse me. Paul instructed us to do both. We're supposed to be praying in tongues and also praying with our understanding. Fear of Satan's knowledge of your prayer is not scriptural. It's not scriptural. Based on the Word of God, even if he knows, here's the thing, even if he did know, like, yeah, he can hear, and he knows Spanish, and he knows English, and he knows Creole, even if he does know what you're praying, he still cannot keep it from coming to pass. The effectual, fervent prayer, well, I'm just going to pray in tongues because he'll hear, and that's not scriptural. You're a little bit off base there. Paul said, this is what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Don't get afraid of the devil. Don't even use tongues as a weapon that propagates fear. Pray in tongues and pray with your understanding. In fact, what about all those, there's like five or six, I pray them often, those apostolic prayers, Ephesians and Philippians, and Colossians, all they're just filtered. Satan can't stop those. Well, he knows about it. He's going to try. He still can't. Even if he knows, according to what Paul told us, pray with the understanding. Even if he knows, he still can't stop it. Hallelujah. Well, I praise God for the mystery, but I praise God for the understanding also. Does that help? 9th reason, it just edifies me. 1 Corinthians 14, 4, he that speaketh an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. The word edifice or edify here means to build a house. I don't know if you've noticed, but I have been building my house over the last 20 years. I bet you guys have been. How we are building our edifice, our building, praying in tongues. You are changing. I don't know if you know that or not, but if you pray in tongues, you are changing. Now, if you go to this church and say, I go to that church, and I've been filled with this, listen, I love you, you're going to heaven, but if you're praying like a couple of words a day, that's not going to, or if you're praying every few days, that's not going to transform you. You're not going to get out of where you're at, and you're not going to go to the next level by just the Holy Spirit. In all practical purposes, the best way to say it, he'll be just dormant. He'll just be dormant. He's there. You're going to heaven, hallelujah, and tormented. Satan can be tormenting the hell out of you. And you're like, I don't understand this. How much word are you putting in? And how much prayer in tongues are you praying? Well, I go to the family prayer center. How much word are you and how much praying in tongues are? I said I go to the family prayer center. How much word and how much praying in tongues are you doing to build yourself up, okay? 10th reason, it builds you up on your most holy faith. Jude 1. These be they who have separated themselves, left the church, sensual, having not the Spirit. I'm putting that part in. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most, everybody say most holy faith. Most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Okay? So I'm building myself up. On my most holy, and there's, we could teach a lot on that, and we're still good on time, but we're coming towards the end. Building up on your most holy faith, first word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but the Holy Spirit steps in and says, okay, I conceive this word, I spoke this word. If you pray in tongues, like Pastor Dave used to say, it's the perfect prayer, and it is revelation knowledge, because it's right along with the Word of God. It's going to build you up on your most holy faith. 11th reason. It is, now how many remember us going through the book of Jude? All those chapters in the book of Jude, okay? All those chapters. The 11th reason is it's an inoculation against deception, especially in the last days. It really is, it's like I've said before, it's kind of like a newspaper for today. All that fake news, all that hyper grace message. When you pray in tongues, not only are you, do you have a predisposition of being able to understand the word beyond anybody that doesn't, but also there's an inoculation. Have you had your flu shot? No, but I've been praying in tongues. And I'm not going to be, I know one thing, I'm not going to be deceived by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Well, you need to get your flu shot. If you need to get your flu shot, get your flu shot. I've never had one, and I just don't get sick. Praise God. Hallelujah. By the grace of God. I'm saying, have you ever been sick? Yes, I have. But I'm living healthier than I ever have before by His grace. Amen.
Hallelujah.
The 12th reason, it keeps you, he just finishes up, keep praying in tongues, it'll keep you in the love of God. Not all Christians walk in love. Was that revelation knowledge to you guys? They may have perfect love in them, but it's not perfected love. It's not been perfected. You've got to die. You've got to keep it. Going back to the mortification message of fasting, it dawned on me. I think it dawned on me, you know, when I'm sure it did, when Gary was teaching on fasting, and I said it to Homer the other day, and I've done a lot of teaching on fasting. I kind of always thought, okay, that 40-day fast was Jesus's deal, and then he come down, and then he lived the next 3 years, 3.5 years, preaching the word and lived out of the power of the new nature and whatever. Jesus had to. He had to have lived a fasted life because the word says that the enemy left him for a season. And Jesus, that's the other example about you'll never have revival except you're baptized in the Spirit. Jesus never did any miracles until after he was baptized. Okay? So it's inoculation, 12th reason it keeps you in the love of God. 13, we're here. Praying in tongues is the entry level for all other gifts. Okay? In 1 Corinthians, I'm just telling you, there's like three chapters on that. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. If you'll read those, you'll be convinced. You're not going to prophesy unless you're first baptized with the Holy Ghost, praying other tongues. You're not going to have any of the other gifts of the Spirit. That's the entry level. You have to be filled first for all these other gifts to work through you. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. Did you get anything out of this? It's old school, I told you. I'm going to offer to everybody listening and everybody that is in here, I don't have a handout to give to you, but I want to tell you that the Lord gave me a number of years ago, actually it was in August of 2011, that I did a teaching on assisting someone in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I sent this to Carl back when he was out at Louisiana Monroe, and he used it, and it's a good paper, isn't it, Carl? Really good. And it's on our website, but what we're going to do is I'm going to ask Candy. I'm saying this is what we're going to do, but what Candy is going to have to do is I'm going to ask her, even though it's in our letters, and I'm going to tell you where to find it, but for simplicity purposes, we're going to attach this PDF to this teaching for tonight, assisting someone in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it is a very word-based but practical. It's like, I hardly ever do like 13 reasons or 10 reasons or 5 reasons, but this is also one of those. It goes step by step of how to assist someone. There's actually 10 different ways, 10 different steps, and it's not legalistic. It's just really word-based, and it tells you, like, in other words, how to get someone you want to get. Someone I talked to on the phone a few weeks ago, they said, I've got a couple people in my house that are not filled. I think they want to get filled. And I told them, you know, you need to have this. And I sent them this. And I hope they used it. Because some of you, if you're not, this is good for everybody. I mean, this is years of just word and practicality. How do you walk someone through? And so it's really good stuff. Tell the person just to relax as much as possible and just listen. Tell the person this is a spiritual experience of faith, just like salvation was. There's just a lot in here of how to break down those stuff you've heard me through the years. So if you want one immediately after service, you would go to our website, face page, look at letters, tap that, and go to August of 2011, and you'll see that, don't tell God this, but that's the last letter I wrote, so, I mean, please don't report me to him, but that was August of 2011, and you'll see that, and if you tap on there, you'll see that whole PDF, okay, and then we'll put it also for people that, can we do that, Candace? Okay, good. A lot of times I'll say what we can do, and then it's, I mean, it's not that you wouldn't, it's like sometimes I don't understand what can happen, okay? Okay. Hallelujah. Good intentions, but, you know, all right. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Where are you going to be Sunday morning? Here. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you're all just going to be, like, on your best spiritual behavior and just really, like, we're just going to make Pastor Jim and Miss Kathy think that we're just, and we are, hallelujah, yes, hallelujah. And when he says, turn with me, you go, oh, glory to God, that's the best I've ever heard, hallelujah, just before he even gives you the scripture, hallelujah. All right, so Father, we bless you, we thank you for all these that are here and those that have listened tonight. We give you all the glory. We're so thankful for this baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you.